Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and it wasn't always about the 1% and the 99%. A look back at the history of New York State shows a time when manufacturing jobs supported the bulk of the workforce. New York's financial sector was not always the overwhelming behemoth that it is today relative to the other sectors. But then enter globalization. A new report from the Levin Institute at the State University of New York and the Center for an Urban Future seeks to quantify and qualify the effect of globalization on New York State, looking not only at what it has meant for the upstate-downstate divide, turns out it's not so black and white, but also at what can help the areas struggling to take advantage of economic opportunities from international markets. No other state, the report concludes, has benefited more and suffered worse than New York in the era of globalization. So joining me now to talk about this report is president of the Levin Institute at the State University of New York and former NBC News correspondent Garrick Utley. Welcome back to WNYC.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Maybe we should go back in history at the beginning to the 60s and 70s. Where was New York State when the effects of what we think of as modern globalization first started to reach the Empire State?
Well, first, before jobs started going from New York or the United States to India and China, they were offshore to distant lands such as South Carolina, Alabama, Texas, and Arizona, then across to northern Mexico, and then when China opened up, they went further afield. So it's not just globalization, it's basic economics. And we have to keep that in mind. We're just doing all of this and seeing all of this on a much larger scale. And what we're seeing today, really over the last 30 years, is this dramatic transformation. And it's not just upstate, downstate. For example, you cited finance. We all talk about finance. I was watching the streaming version of your program yesterday about Occupy Wall Street. And are we overly dependent on finance? Yes. Are we dependent on it because it pays 20% of our state revenue, which pays for the police and the fire department? Yes. But one other example about what New York City has done, the city. New York City was a major manufacturing center up to about 40, 50 years ago. 24% of the employees in the private sector in manufacturing, mainly garment industry. 7th Avenue, low-paying jobs, women at sewing machine. That went. Today, we are a fashion capital in design, marketing, merchandising, high-wage jobs. New York City reinvented itself in this one field and many other fields, too. So the bottom line is it comes down to talent. It comes down to drawing people to this metropolis, which is what New York City is able to do and go on with all of its other problems. The state as a whole and elsewhere, that's a different story.
Well, when you conclude in the report that no state has benefited more and no state has suffered more than New York in the era of globalization, give us the parameters
okay,
of that.
Okay, let's go to the extremes. One end, Wall Street bonuses, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's the extreme disparity of income. You talk about it continuously here. We all do.
Now, wait. Occupy Wall Street would say that this is the result of cultural change and political change that's domestic, that the finance sector got its hooks into government through big campaign finance donations and things like that. But you're saying there are global forces
at work in the bonuses. The Wall Street companies are able to have influence in Congress because they have the money to hire the lobbyists, and they got that money by operating on this global scale. So it's a self-perpetuating mechanism. Then you go to the other extreme. Go to Buffalo. Go to Utica. Go to many of these places that were wealthy towns. Buffalo, 100 years ago, had the second busiest railroad hub traffic in the nation after Chicago. Albany was electrified before New York City. Mm. These were prosperous cities in Syracuse and Rochester. They were overly dependent on old traditional manufacturing. That went. When that went 30 years ago, 20 years ago, it really disappeared. There was nothing to replace it.
So the report says it's not always New York City good, upstate bad. For example, the Albany-Schenectady-Troy area, embracing the legacies of tech-oriented manufacturing and research and strong universities.
Well, first of all, on the university intellectual side, New York State, even in those areas hit hardest, We have tremendous intellectual research and development resources from national labs out on Long Island, Rensselaer Polytech, and, there's Cornell, all the big SUNY research universities. GE still has its global headquarters for research outside of Schenectady.
Huh.
And they're also in Bangalore.
But
and
not a lot of jobs. Schenectady used to be known. I used to live there. Yeah. Schenectady used to have the nickname of the Electric City because half the population was employed by GE, no more.
Yes, and now nanotechnology has moved into the Saratoga Springs area, the Albany area, and that's stabilizing the economy, and it's going to grow it. But even if you look at New York City, let's bring it back home, the success story of the New York service industries, not just finance or fashion, but architecture and law and media and advertising, have been able to take advantage of the global market, and they are prospering. At the same time, Manhattan, New York County, is the wealthiest per capita on a median income basis, urban county in the United States. What's the poorest? It's the Bronx next door. So this doesn't mean that New York as a whole, that all ships are rising. We know they are not, Ryan. But it does mean that those ships that are rising now have the burden of really carrying the rest of the city and much of the state, and how long can they continue to carry it?
And when we look at the impact of globalization on New York and consider the future, I imagine that one of the assets that New York City has, which has helped and will help it benefit from globalization, is a large immigrant population and immigrants from everywhere.
Immigrants are the lifeblood of New York City, of the United States, but particularly in New York, we have 38% of New Yorkers are foreign-born. This is a phenomenal number, not a record number, if you go back to the 19th century, but that's the lifeblood. Upstate doesn't have, it's getting more immigrants, but not as much.
Not as many as when they were coming in through Ellis Island, which, of course, is in New Jersey.
Yes, but if you go back to the Dutch here, just a little parenthesis about history, because I'm fascinated with it. The Dutch settled the Lower Manhattan with the Dutch West Indies Company in 1624. 1640, 400 people were living in the settlement down there, speaking 18 languages. There you go.
That's the birth of New York City.
Yes.
And here we are, still living out that legacy.
Yes, and how do we live out the legacy with the fundamental changes that have occurred? We've been hit by three tsunamis simultaneously. One is the political shifts in the world, the collapse of communism. Suddenly China opened up, the vast labor forces, Eastern Europe, other parts got connected because tsunami number two was digital technology and everything you can do to connect these workers and do your work or have it done by people earning a couple dollars an hour in India or in China. Either one of those two would have changed and did change our world, which led to number three, which is over the last 30 years, how Americans have gone so deep into the hole of debt from the federal government to individual credit card holders who are maxed out, and we're not able to sustain it. So it's the three. It's the political shifts, the technological impact, and now facing our indebtedness and other financial and economic problems. One would change our world. All three, well, tomorrow has arrived. Here we are.
Garrick Utley, president of the Levin Institute at SUNY, which along with the Center for an Urban Future has released a report, The Impact of the Global Economy on New York State and City. And so before you go, you do make policy recommendations. One is create more immigration-friendly policies.
Yeah, this is across the board. This nation needs, was based on immigration. We need immigrants at all aspects of the economy, from the technology and knowledge workers to those who are going to be supporting the basic services in the city.
Close that loop for us, though. Just because China and India are fast-growing economies, for example, how does it benefit New York to have a lot of Chinese immigrants here, Indian immigrants here?
Well, you can talk about the lower end of the economic scale, and they are the people we know have been picking the fruit across the country in California and doing other those jobs, and that's always been an opportunity for them and a need for us.
Let's focus
on the knowledge workers. Yes, we have always attracted and continue to attract to our first-rate higher education systems people who do their master's, their PhDs to the United States. Mostly they wanted to stay here. Now they're beginning to go home to India and China because the opportunities are there. So what we need is not just a simple open-door policy by any means. It has to be regulated in the proper way. And certainly we don't want a closed-door policy. I call for what I see as a revolving door. that the talent's going to come here to get their PhDs or work in knowledge industries, what have you. They will spend some time. They may go back and work in their country, but then they come back here. This is the way the world is working, because the dominant dynamic we face is that the growing markets are overseas, and the GEs and the IBMs of this world are hiring elsewhere, and we have to make sure that we can compete with them, and the key to competition is going to be talent. We got to get it from wherever we can.
Some of your other policy recommendations: invest in infrastructure, provide more support for entrepreneurship, and create better connections between New York City and upstate cities. Why that?
Well, entrepreneurship, first of all, is a buzzword, but very vital. If the big established companies aren't hiring because of A, the economy, B, because of technology, means they can do the job with fewer people, then they're not going to do that much hiring. And we run programs on entrepreneurship at the Levin Institute. We call it Fast Track. These New Yorkers come in, and some of them are entrepreneurs or would-be entrepreneurs of passion, others of necessity. As I say, if you can't find a job, you have to create a job. Easier said than done. But this is what has to be. This is the mechanism, the motor, and it's going to call on the energy, the innovation, and the individualism of Americans to do it. But it is working. We have to spread that. Upstate, downstate, look, there was a balance of prosperity and affluence and power between those cities along the Erie Canal in New York way back when. A lot of the funding, the finance from New York City went up the Hudson. It was dropped along these metro areas along the Erie Canal to run the big industries, which continued up to the mid-20th century. And people upstate didn't feel they were second-class New Yorkers economically. That disappeared, and we have this imbalance. New York thinks for itself, and New Yorkers are starting to realize, leaders here, of how the problems upstate are weighing on New York City. Because a lot of the tax revenue that's coming from here is going to be spent up there, and this has to be tended to.
Garrick Utley, president of the Levin Institute at SUNY, with the Center for an Urban Future. They've released the impact of the global economy on New York State and city. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And coming up next, reading for adventure versus reading for security. We will open up the phones on why you read books over again. This is about rereading. Why do your kids reread books? Why do your parents reread books? Why do you reread books when there are so many new ones to try? We have a great guest on this, and you can call us too and talk about what books you reread and why you reread at all. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. You can start calling right now. Larry McMurtry said, when we're young, we read for adventure. When we're old, we read for security. Does that sound like you? 212-433-WNYC. Why do you reread books? We'll take your calls in a minute.